Terry, did you have an asbestos lifestyle? Oh, who told you that story?
Came down at Christmas. Love all lovely, love divine. Love was born at Christmas. Star and angels gave the sign. Bless us, Lord, as we celebrate Christmas in July. And let us realize that Christmas is not seasonal, in that Christ needs to be born, should be born, and will be born in our hearts every day. When we love as Christ loved. Now bless us as we seek to worship in spirit and in truth. Amen.
Please stand.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. This time I'd like for the boys and girls to come forward. I would like to talk with you about Christmas. Oh, a man after my own heart, barefooted. That'll work. Others who'd like to come? Okay, I'm gonna have a seat. Oh, good, come on.
Look at that girl there again.
Yeah, isn't she cute? Yeah. Good. Well, hello. I'm glad to see you all. Today we are celebrating Christmas in the summertime. Can you believe that? We're singing Christmas carols. As a matter of fact, in another week or so, we're going to do it again. Yay. I think that's wonderful. Don't you think there ought to be Christmas every day?
Yes. Yes. Santa's going to come and bring presents.
Every day, right? That would be nice, wouldn't it? Oh, he did? Good. Well, you know what? If you would like to have Christmas every day, this is how you do it. Love came down at Christmas in the little baby Jesus, right? He showed everybody how to love one another. That's what Christmas is all about. So if you would like for Christmas to come every day, you tell somebody you love them. And that way, you are letting Christmas come through you to the person that you have told, I love you. Now, do you love anybody? Do you love somebody? This one right here, you love her? There you go. Now that's Christmas right there. That's it. Do you all love anybody over there? I bet you do. Mommy, be sure you tell her I love you, because that is exactly the way Christmas is born every day. It's in your heart and you share it with somebody else. Let's have a prayer. Thank you, O Lord, for Jesus. Thank you, O Lord, for letting us love like Jesus loved. Let us recognize, regardless of the month of the year or the day of the month, we can celebrate Jesus' birth when we let him be born in our hearts and we share that love with each other. Bless us, O Lord, and let us remember that it is love that makes the world go round. Amen. And thank you all for coming. Amen. I love it. We have in our bulletin a number of prayer concerns. You see them listed here. There are also announcements, birthdays, as well as anniversaries. Let's remember the celebration of birthdays and anniversaries. Also, let's keep in mind some of the opportunities that we have. Let's remember to pray. Pray for everything that's coming down, not just for the sick and for those who are bereaved. That's important, obviously. But pray for everything, because God, through Jesus, said pray. St. Paul says, pray without ceasing. So we as Christians are told what we need to do, and we need to follow up on that and follow up on that faithfully. Because you know what? I'll tell you something you already knew. Prayer makes a difference. Say amen. Amen. That wasn't very convincing.
Amen.
That's much better. That is what we practice. Now, let us go to the Lord in prayer together. Shall we pray? All praise and thanksgiving are yours, O Lord, for all the bountiful blessings that you give us, for laughter, for sympathies when we don't feel like laughing, for genuine care when there are misfortunes that fall upon people, for the joy of celebrations, whether it be Independence Day, Memorial Day, or Christmas Day. Thank you for occasions that let us come together and remember the blessings of life. You, O Lord, are present in everything we do. Whether we are happy, so happy we approach the heights of heaven, where things are just ordinary, or when things are so bad, we're in the depths of hell. As the psalmist said, there is nowhere we can go that you are not already there. So thank you for your omnipotence, for your kindness and generosity. Thank you for your faithfulness toward all of us. We confess, O Lord, that we haven't paid enough attention to you. We've not honored you with our actions. Sometimes we've simply been lazy. Sometimes we've been so lazy we can't even change the channel on the television. And we've let whatever somebody else decides infect our minds, our hearts, and our spirit with things that simply are not uplifting, things that do not help with our mindset or our approach to life. So we confess our indolence to you. We confess that we need to do better. And we beseech you, please, O Lord, help us be better than we are. Hear our prayers of intercession. A number of people are listed and published in the bulletin as needing our prayers. There are other occasions as well where we need to be remembering. And let us also put feet on our prayers and make sure that we go and do that which or for which we are praying, because people need help. And we cannot escape this realm without helping each other through the love of Jesus. Hear our prayers for the international situation. There are so many issues where there are prayers that need and ought and are being applied. We ask your presence in Europe, where decisions are made with the economic situation with Greece that could have, O Lord, a very serious domino effect. We pray for our own systems of economics and politics. But most of all, we pray for the spiritual health of people everywhere. Because you, O Lord, are spirit. And if we worship you, we must worship in spirit and in truth, and not just what money can buy or entertainment can give. So please bless us with the knowledge that we are your people, that you have chosen us, you have picked us to be agents of change, indeed agents that cause the salvation of the world to come through the love of Christ. Make us ever mindful of this privilege, we beseech you. In the name of Jesus we pray, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Christmas.
Amen. When we give God's tithes and our offerings back to God for use through this church and this church's ministry and mission, we in essence are helping love go to the places of need and opportunities to witness to Christmas every day. Let the ushers come forward. Thank you, O Lord, for all the opportunities you give us to witness to your presence, your generosity, as well as your direction through prayer. Accept this money. Use your tithes and our offerings to further your work in this realm. Amen.
Oh,
Please be seated. Our scripture lesson for today is found in the letter to the Ephesians from the very first chapter, beginning with the third verse and then reading through verse 14. Let us hear the word of the Lord. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love, he destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward the redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. Amen. And here ends this reading from God's most holy word. Let us bow in prayer. Father God, send forth your Holy Spirit to interpret for us, the preacher and the people, these eternal truths which you have given through Christ and witnessed to in the Holy Scriptures. Bless us, O Lord, and touch our spirits with your spirits. Amen. I want you to think back, if you can, I mean, all the way to the beginning of time. All we're doing to do that is projecting. We have scripture to tell us what's like. Everything was chaotic. Everything was out of order. And the Spirit of God came. And in one of the stories or accounts of creation, in 6 days, he created the heavens and the earth. Let there be light, and there was light. All of that we know. We've been taught that since earliest times. But keep in mind, when God saw chaos, he made order out of it. And since we're created in the image of God, we have tendencies to be chaotic, as well as to impress order on things around us. All of us know this and do this to a point. Sometimes we just like chaos, don't we? We just have such a good time doing nothing except participating in chaos. And we call it a good time as long as somebody else cleans up our mess, right? But every now and then we strike out and we do the God thing, in that we are making order from chaos. Well, in the first 11 chapters of Genesis, we have all kinds of evidences of God's action. But in the 12th chapter of Genesis, we have the account of God calling a man by the name of Abram. And God called Abram to leave his home and go a far distance because he was going to make a great nation from him. And you know what Abram did? He listened to God's call. Now, that was amazing because he was a very comfortable, very wealthy person to listen to God's call and just take off, strike out under the leadership of God into the chaotic world where he didn't know who or what was behind the next hill. Well, that's called faith, dear friends. And Abram did just that. And we have the stories of Abram and then Abraham and then Isaac and Jacob. And the stories of these patriarchs tell us the trial and error of these chosen people to follow God and his plan or to strike out on their own and try to make order based upon their own values, upon the chaos in front of them. And this is our essential lesson that we need to be remembering from today's sermon. It is our lot in life to be assigned a day that's filled with chaos on the one hand, but also filled with order on the other hand. And God gives us eyes to see what's chaotic and what's orderly. And we have a temptation now. Do we put our order on the chaos around us, or do we put God's order? And have we listened enough to our marching orders to discern what God wants us to do, which with each chaotic situation? Now, that is the issue of life itself, placing order upon chaos. But whose order? Being created in the image of God as we are, we like to create the playthings, the tools, the order. We like to create it after our own impression. You have the advent of political systems. You have all kinds of understandings about church and church doctrine. You have all kinds of ways of worship, singing songs, all of that. But to place it in orderly fashion, we are tempted. Is it my order? Is it God's order? And this is the importance of prayer. We know this, of course, but we need to be reminded on certainly a regular basis. So, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the stories we find in Genesis, they get in and they get out of trouble. What a rascal Jacob was. Pitiful. And then we have him wrestling with God. And his name is changed. And in exchange, God marks him by putting his hip out of joint. So everybody knows that Israel has wrestled with God because he limps the rest of his life. Then we've got stories of how order was made, but then power came. And we've got stories of how folks started worshiping their own order instead of God's. Next, we've got famines. Where are we going to get grain? Famine. Went to Egypt. You have the Joseph stories. How he virtually ruled Egypt. And how his brothers came down. They had no idea it was he until he revealed himself. And then the relief, the fear, is he going to get us back? And there you see how God affected Joseph, where he forgave. And you begin to see a pattern. When we follow God's pattern, his way of placing order out of chaos,
we see wonderful things happen in human relationships and with the material things around us. Ah, things are going well for the Israelites in Egypt, aren't they? Until there was a Pharaoh to rise up who did not know Joseph. And then the children of Israel began to be persecuted. How could they follow what God wanted when the Egyptians literally were grinding them down and taking away their freedoms? And you know the story. Because earlier, God has already made a down payment on salvation. God made the down payment on salvation through Jesus Christ. That was at the very beginning. But things needed, according to God's plan, to spin out and let human beings see what they could do with the creativity that God gave them to. Finally, God had to speak to somebody else. Moses, I need you to go down there and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Now you see, we've got issues that begin to tick and talk about how life is. The scriptures are so revealing because on the one hand, we have blessing. But then we run that so much that we began to think it is we who did that and not God. And then slavery occurs. And we're caught. And we cry out to God, oh God, set me free. And then God raises up someone, Moses in this case. But the down payment on our salvation is Jesus. So as we watch the story of salvation unwind or spin out, we see that Moses leads the children of Israel into wilderness. Oh my. I want something to eat. I want some water. God gives it. And then there's a major revelation, the Ten Commandments. Mount Horeb or Mount Sinai, Moses gets these tablets. And this is what God revealed. God's not quite ready for Jesus yet, but revealed what God expects of those wandering nomads as they go to the Promised Land. This is what God wants. Then you've got the rest of the Old Testament about how people tried and they failed, how the temptations of the Baals and other gods move them from center to the sides, and how God gets angry. The prophets reveal all kinds of stories that say, repent, 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 turn away, come back. But they don't. They don't come back. So guess what? They go back into captivity. The Babylonian, and earlier than that, the Assyrian captivity. Once again, the chaos didn't follow Christ's or God's order. And chaos came. Our question today is, how many of us are caught? How many of us are in captivity? We can't move. We might as well be in Egypt with Pharaoh telling us what to do. How many of us are caught in sin today? And this is what the story of God's down payment is all about. We are told that if we repent of our sin, God, through Christ, will forgive us. But what do you do if we repent and then go right back to sinning all over again? Think about it. We are caught. We are caught by the drives and needs within the human person. And we're pulled back into that which we don't want. And at this point, the down payment of our salvation comes into focus. Because what we struggle with is, I want to be in charge, God, not you. You've run it long enough, God. It's my turn, and I know what's best for me. After all, I'm in your image, God. Don't you get it, God? And this is the attitude of our whole culture. And God has to sit back and say, all right, you run it a while. Let's see what you get. Let's see where it leads you. So we come into worship and we're tired of running it. And we really wish God would take it off of us. Well, guess what? He will. And he can. But we have to repent. But you say, I'm dragged back into my old habits. Repent again. And then finally we have to say, God, I've begged you to take this off of me, and I still fall back. Give me Christ. You know what Christ tells us? It's what the Spirit of God told St. Paul when he had a thorn in his side, and he said, God, please take it away. The Holy Spirit said, my grace is sufficient. Go on and bear up, knowing that my grace is sufficient to carry you in spite of the fact that you're caught. You're caught, and you can't shake loose on your own. I'll help you carry it. That's what Christ meant in Matthew 11 when he said, come to me, all who labored and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How many of us are so caught that we simply, help me, God. Help me, Jesus. What Jesus did for us was to go to the cross, and he took all the sins of the world on us. That means all the tendencies, nothing that we can get into that Christ doesn't understand and overcome. And then when God raised him from the dead, that showed all the negative things that affect us today. You're not going to win. You're not going to win, you negative things. I will win. And I've showed that to you on Easter Day. So, dear friends, we're caught, aren't we? How many of you face some chaos this afternoon? Of course we do. It's chaotic on those interstates. It's chaotic on a country road. Heavenly days, you never know what's around the next corner. But we're to make order out of the chaos. And the Spirit of Christ, the down payment for the salvation of the world, is there for us to draw direction, for us to draw grace. Remember, my grace is sufficient. There are things we cannot seem to overcome. My grace is sufficient. There are times when we are so burdened, we don't know if we can get another breath of air. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, because I'm going to give you rest. These are the promises of Christmas, because love did come down at Christmas. Now, we do have to follow instructions. But we don't have to wait till December to celebrate Christmas. When we are led to reach out to each other, and when we allow others to reach out to us, when we welcome others, yes, I will share your story. I'll let you share your story with me, too. We will have a community of faith. For where two or three are gathered in the name of Jesus, in the name of love, there am I right in the midst of you. So that's what we're about, dear friends. Following Christ is not a series of do's and don'ts. We already have that. We couldn't do it. Our humankind messed up. But what we can do is accept the love of Christ so profoundly. And remember that Jesus died for you and me. And because we're so appreciative, we then will seek to follow those Ten Commandments. Not because we're afraid, but because we want to please God, who gives us our down payment in Jesus, who gives us our way to come home, and who surrounds us with the love of Jesus. Reach and hold on to that love. Accept that free gift of salvation, of health and wholeness. Yes, there are impediments. We've talked about them. But let God's grace help you bear up under them and keep right on witnessing to the rock that is higher than we. May God bless us as we continue to celebrate Christmas every day of our lives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our concluding hymn is Joy to the World. That's a very upbeat Christmas hymn that will fill us with a springing step and will send us forth in the heat and thunderstorms of July, remembering that love is what we need. It's all we have, but it's all we need. I believe there's someone who wishes to come into the fellowship of this church by transfer of letter. Lydia, if you come as we sing this hymn, we'll welcome you and your children. Now, at the conclusion of the hymn, of course, we will ask Lydia, since she's coming across denominational lines, we'll ask her those four Methodist questions. But after that, I want everybody to line up on that wall, and I want you to come through right here, and I want you to greet Lydia, and I want you to welcome her to our fellowship. We expected her to come in about a month ago, but she disappeared. Do you know why? Her car broke down. We're delighted it's fixed. But I chided her a little bit because she could have called some of us, and we would have gone by to collect her. But then as I looked at her, and she looked back at me, she didn't know anybody. And I think, dear people, as well as I know you, we won't let that happen again. So get to know her. Look for her. Find her phone number. And make sure she knows she's free, like all of us know that we are free, to call upon each other when things begin to fall apart with our routine. I want Lydia to see how many people would have collected her had they known that she needed a ride. Would you raise your hands if you would have done that? What do you think, Lydia? You think it'll work? At the end of the service, she's going to tell me all your names. Not. We'll stand as we sing Joy to the World.
And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing.
She's run to get her kids, so we should be back shortly. But Lydia comes to us from Mount Vernal Independent Baptist Church, and her children's names are Lakin and Brooklyn. So I wanted to introduce them to her. When she comes with those lovely children of hers, we will ask her that Methodist question. Now, her other half, his name is Cody, and we're still working on him. So we'll catch him at another time. Here she comes. Here they are. Lakin and
Brooklyn.
Which is which, Tommy wants to know.
This one's Lakin.
Lakin, and that's Brooklyn. And that's Lydia. Now, Lydia, since you're coming across denominational lines, I want you to know that we recognize as Methodists your baptism, your church instruction of things of the faith, certainly your work in love at the Baptist church. But denominational lines, we have these questions. Will you be loyal to the United Methodist Church and uphold it with your prayers? Will you pray for the church? Mm-hmm. Your presence, will you continue coming when you have transportation, right? Your gifts, will you do what you can with your gifts, your time, your talent, your money, as well as your service? Mm-hmm. Would you do that?
Yeah.
And we welcome you as our newest member of Rockwood United Methodist Church, as well as your lovely children, okay? Once again, please line up on this side and then come forward. Let's have the benediction first. People of God, go forth with love, with joy, with thanksgiving. Christ is the down payment of all our salvation. Go forth and work out your salvation with fear and trembling, but enjoy that salvation every step of the way. Go in peace.